I feel like we will, because we're not doing spoiler, no spoiler. We're doing it, whatever. We're doing the things. We're saying the facts. We're
speaking the facts.
Telling the truth.
Figures. We're not messing
bringing
around
it
here.
To light.
This is journalism.
Okay.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Ride Home Podcast. My name is Abby.
Hey, guys. This is Caitlin.
So we are back this week reviewing not a horror movie.
Not for the first time in our lives and the history of this podcast.
It's not a horror movie.
Just a movie.
I have been a massive fan of Mad Max Fury Road basically since it came out. And I remember a very specific moment. I was living in like Pennsylvania still. And I remember telling you, you have to watch this movie.
I do remember that. And I don't know if you remember this part, but I was like very
put off by the concept.
I was like not interested. And I was just kind of like, what even is it? What is it about? And you're like, just watch it. And I remember just feeling like, okay, it was like,
it's like the last thing that on paper someone would expect you to enjoy or watch or seek out.
Correct. But we were still like dating at the time, and so it was like back when you're like trying to like impress someone and you're like, okay, I watched it for you
just
for you, and I actually did like it.
Yeah,
I remember really liking it.
I remember it wasn't obviously like as strong of a reaction that like I had, obviously, but
I appreciated
it. You appreciated it. And I know that when I first saw that there was going to be a prequel coming out, like the first thing I did, I was just like, smash the share button of like the trailer. And I was like, everyone needs to know. So we saw the prequel to Mad Max, Furiosa. I believe it's called A Mad Max Saga.
It is indeed.
Which they could have just called it Furiosa,
it's a little dramatic,
to be honest.
But
I think everyone would have figured out that it was from Mad Max because Furiosa is a pretty iconic character. So this movie takes place before Mad Max Fury Road. And so Furiosa is a little bit younger and obviously not played by Charlize Theron, which. There obviously are some hesitations about her not being able to play that character because she was so fucking good in Mad Max. But I think having somebody like the caliber of Anya Taylor-Joy jumping into that role, it kind of like eased my fears, I guess I would say. And so I ended up being like more and more excited to go see it. That being said, could you give us a synopsis and very brief character list? Because I feel like we only need to mention two actors.
Yes, I would be happy to. Snatched from the green place of many mothers. Snatched. That's what it starts off with.
Snatched.
Snatched from the green place of many mothers. Young Furiosa falls into the hands of a great biker horde led by the warlord Dementis. Sweeping through the wasteland, they come across the citadel, presided over by the Immortan Joe. As the two tyrants fight for dominance, Furiosa soon finds herself in a nonstop battle to make her way home. And this movie stars lots of people, actually.
Yeah, there are lots of
like,
people.
As far as starring roles go, we've got Anya Taylor-Joy, who plays Furiosa, and we have Chris Hemsworth and his enormous biceps also starring.
Also his enormous prosthetic nose.
Yeah. I was mostly distracted by his enormous biceps.
Yeah.
He plays Dr. Dementis.
Which, the fact that he's called Dr. Dementis, I feel like they didn't really mention that very
often.
Yeah,
I missed the part where he was a doctor.
Yeah, you know.
But it's fine.
It's fine. It was also directed by George Miller. But I really do want to get your opinion first, because I feel like these types of movies aren't really your cup of tea. And it's just interesting to hear like a different perspective. So, Caitlin, what are your thoughts and feelings on Furiosa? A Mad Max saga.
Do you have any inkling or indication of what I felt?
Brief indication, just based on what you told your mom.
So I may have been trying to throw you off the scent a little bit.
Okay.
Because I loved this movie.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, like I really liked this movie. I feel a little bit like Regal might be gaslighting me. I feel like I have yet to see a movie in RPX that I didn't love.
Right.
In an RPX theater, it's a very different experience than just a regular movie theater.
Right.
The seats are more comfortable because they're leather. And they're
it's nicer. Luxury.
It's you like a luxury, luxury experience. I love luxury and I love like sensory.
Mm-hmm. You're a Capricorn with ADHD. So I feel like you like luxury and stimulation. That's like your like handshake.
Those are my like two favorite things.
Yeah.
This was such a sensory experience. If I'm not mistaken, did the first Mad Max win an Oscar for like sound mixing or editing?
I think so, yeah.
I feel like it did.
It won a couple of Oscars and I'm not sure like what they were specifically, but they were all technical for sure.
I think for me, from like a sensory and experience perspective, I felt like this was a 10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like the story and the writing was very well done. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it kind of like handheld with the sound and made an extremely immersive experience where, you know, part of why I struggle with movies like this is that I have a hard time like picking up what's going on and
following.
Like, who are these weirdos and why are they doing this and like what's happening? But it started and I just immediately was like, oh, I get it. Totally get it.
I'm here.
I'm on board with everything that's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of just went with it and I just let it happen and I didn't question everything.
I think that they did a good job of explaining everybody's motivations in this movie because it was very, and some of them were like just straight up like on the nose
they
because
like,
it was like
told us
Gas Town and Bullet Town.
Yeah.
So it's like in this universe, you need access to food, gasoline, and bullets.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically these three different cities that are all located with each other are basically, it's either you're working together and you're, you know, sharing resources or you're fighting against each other for those resources. And I thought they did a very good job of just explaining like, hey, that's why everybody's doing what they're doing. And I was like, okay, cool. Like,
yeah, I feel like that too. And I feel like it helped me kind of keep track of everything and know what was going on. But overall, like, I just thought it was really well done. Curious to know your thoughts, like, because I know you're going to be comparing the two. So I'm curious to know your thoughts. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. And I thought both Anya Taylor-Joy and Chris Hemsworth were very good in this movie.
I'm just going to do like a quick list of my thoughts just to like get them out just so that I don't like miss anything that I want to touch. Number one, Chris Hemsworth, despite being as beautiful as he is, should always play the villain.
Correct.
Because my God, he was so good.
Right?
This was the best I've seen Chris Hemsworth act.
No, like actually.
Because in Thor, like he's just a goofy guy and like
he's likable.
He's likable and obviously, you know, arguably one of the most handsome human beings to ever exist.
Yeah.
But I thought this movie, I was like, wow, you know, he really nailed it.
He really acted.
And not only did he act, but I thought he, which is funny, he, even more than Furiosa, even more than Anya Taylor-Joy, gave us real and, like, honest depth.
Yeah.
Like, we understood him. We understood his character. And watching his progression from Christ Hemsworth, where he's just this, like,
Christ Hemsworth,
this desert, like, guru type thing into this political force in this world, was really, really interesting to watch. And it had a lot of like undertones of like cults and how people who are leaders of cults come to power. And he also had this really interesting backstory where, you know, he carried a teddy bear around and he said it belonged to his little ones. And so you have that history of like him being a father and him, despite kidnapping Furiosa, being like, no one lays a finger
like
on this child.
Ultimate protector.
So it's like,
so
he ruined her fucking life, but also will make sure that nobody hurts her.
Yeah.
And so he was just a very interesting and complex character, and I absolutely loved him.
he was so fun to watch in this movie.
And honestly, I think that is the one thing that I would put over Mad Max, the first one, is that I thought Dementis was a more interesting villain overall than Immortan Joe was in the first one.
Okay.
Immortan Joe is who he is. He is what he is in this one as he is in that one. Uh-huh. He just seems like this kind of like big ominous,
you know, he reminds me of what? Emperor Palpatine.
Yeah.
Like it's giving that sort of just like all-knowing, all-powerful, shitty person in this universe.
He also, for anyone who plays Apex Legends, kind of reminds me of Caustic.
Oh, yeah.
And so I just, like, am, like...
he's just that guy.
He's just gas daddy. Yeah. So, like, Immortan Joe, I feel like, is just... You kind of... He's weird. He's a creep.
He is what he is. There's not a lot of depth there. He's probably not that smart, honestly.
So I felt like Chris Hemsworth as a villain was so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I think that there were some highlights in this movie, kind of crazy action sequences. Mm-hmm. Like there's the one action sequence that I think it's like 15 minutes long. And it's when they're on the road and that guy with the helicopter bike comes up on them like in the air. That was a crazy scene.
Insane.
It was an insane scene. But it was weird. I felt less in awe. I don't know if this is really like hitting my action bug as much as I wanted it to.
Okay.
Because this one felt way more like political intrigue and like everybody's intentions and motivations and all that.
Uh-huh.
Which I liked.
Okay.
However, I'm going to get to the thing that I hated.
Oh, no. Okay. I don't like this part.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I really and truly did not like the pacing of this movie.
Okay.
They did a really piss poor job of connecting the story.
Mm.
So it was like we had this insular moment happen and then we fade to black. And then we go to this moment and then we fade to black. And then we go to this moment and then we fade to black. It made the movie feel so much longer than it actually was.
Okay.
And I think the entire time I was sitting there like, just get to the fucking point.
Mm.
Like, just get to the sequences. And also if they stopped titling the chapters and fading to black and holding these really long shots, we could have gotten a little bit more information and like interesting scenes where like there's this one scene where I know you had to walk out because you were like grossed out, but she wakes up in this like maggot den with these like women who have these body parts hanging around and I was like, I want to know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
And so I felt like there were opportunities where they could have immersed us even more into this world.
Okay.
And instead they just kind of drew out this like plot that honestly could have happened like
could have been an email. Yeah. Okay.
And I think if they had just tightened it up and if they had, or if they didn't want to tighten it up and they wanted it to be, you know, a 2.5 hour saga, I'd be there. I'd watch it regardless. But give us action in those gaps instead of fading to black, because if we're going from dialogue scene to dialogue scene to dialogue scene, fade to black, all of a sudden we're in action, fade to black, now we're in dialogue again. It felt like I was getting splashed with cold water and then wrapped in a towel, but then they splashed me with cold water again.
Choppy and disjointed.
It was choppy and disjointed. That being said, I still really enjoyed this movie.
Okay, that's
because
good.
It's a world that I find very interesting.
Yeah.
It's very quirky. It's very original.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many cool parts and pieces and elements.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just a really interesting world.
Yeah.
And I know the first thing that, like, I thought was, you know, maybe it's mentioned in the first Mad Max and it's just like slipped my mind, or like I didn't notice it at the time, but like at the very beginning of the movie there's like a full shot of a globe.
Oh yeah.
And then it zoomed in on the shape of Australia and it was completely, you know, covered in sand, which we know that this world is our world, but
in the future
basically
we fucked it up.
We ruined all of our resources,
which,
and
like,
now we're in a wasteland
one day.
Yep.
We won't be here, but
cautionary tale.
Y'all's grandkids will.
So I thought that was really interesting that it zoomed into Australia and then like people who were around before the collapse of this universe basically all had Australian accents.
Yeah.
And then the people who were younger all had kind of like almost American, like mm-hmm. a little hint of British.
Yeah.
But like almost American. And I thought it was, they did a really interesting job of having us recognize who the people
OG.
Who, yeah, mm-hmm. who witnessed the fall of this earth.
Yeah.
Who witnessed the fall of humanity and who grew up in it.
Yeah, that was interesting.
I thought that was really cool.
And you said something a minute ago that might also be the reason why I like this movie so much. You said it's quirky.
Mm-hmm.
I love quirky.
Yeah.
I love a quirky moment.
He, being George Miller, is not afraid to just have some weirdos because,
yeah,
I mean, let's be honest here. The people are weird.
People now are weird, but the people left after that are going to be even weirder.
Right. Because they've all experienced trauma.
Yeah.
And also, in order to survive in a world like that, I'm just going to say this clearly. The normal people are going to be dead.
The normal people are gone.
Because you and I, if the world falls, we're going to lay down in our bed and say night night to the world together.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Uh-uh.
So the people who are left to survive like apocalypses would be
they got a little bit of cuckoo in them.
Yeah, they'd be the people who would be like, oh, this is my opportunity to like have power and to lead and to like, you know,
exactly be a Dementis. Like Dementis.
Or they would be kind of like cuckoo birds who are just
like Immortan Joe,
mm-hmm.
who like that dude is like a schizophrenic, like
pedophile.
Yeah, the guy is got all the things in the DSM.
Like, so I agree that I feel like it is that
it's like
world.
Quirky, but it's like realistically quirky. Yeah. Like it's like very, it feels far-fetched, it feels like fantasy, it feels like all of those things, but it's also like could be.
And also, if you think about it, the characters in this movie, if you actually like, I'm getting way too deep for Mad Max, but if you look at this world,
mm-hmm.
it's really interesting that besides Furiosa,
mm-hmm.
every single young person mm-hmm. is a tool, an item, a mm-hmm. follower.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that, like, even though you would watch it and be like, I mean, how did they get all of these war boys to just follow along?
Yeah.
You know, how did they get all these bikers to just do what they're doing?
Uh-huh.
And I feel like it does make sense because in that situation, all of these people are being raised with one thing in mind, and that's survival.
Mm-hmm.
And no education.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So basically, if you're just trained from the beginning that like your job to help us all survive is to stand on this citadel and throw spear bombs at people,
mm-hmm.
they'd be like, okay,
sound good to me.
And the only people in this world that really had like thoughts, opinions, motivations, concerns, plots, like anything, were mm-hmm. all like the older people who had experienced the world before this.
That's interesting.
Furiosa being the person that kind of stands out from that, like, you know, where the rest of the youth mm-hmm. of this world are just like
blind followers. Like, yeah. No thoughts upstairs at all.
Furiosa
having thoughts and opinions.
Has thoughts and opinions. And I thought that, you know, this comes from clearly where she was raised and taken from, which is this like land of mothers or whatever.
What is it? It's called the Green Place of Many Mothers.
Yeah.
I want to go to there.
It was like a beautiful
place. Looked awesome.
Yeah. And it looked like a place where like you would get an education and you would learn.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone had a place and the women were strong and powerful.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, she, even though she was taken at such a young age, like kept that mentality and mm-hmm. really like carried that through. And I think that's what stands her out so much against everybody else who's uh-huh. younger in this world, and also why she fucks with like Dementis's brain so much, and why she was able to outsmart Immortan Joe
mm-hmm.
and his weird like ogre sons.
Oh, they're really creepy. Not Rectus and Scrotus. We have to acknowledge that their character names
yep.
Wait, their names were...
Was Scrotus the one that had the most giant forehead in the history of time?
His name is Rectus Erectus.
I fucking love it.
It's so funny.
It's so funny.
It's so clever and funny.
Yeah.
Rectus Erectus and Rectus Scrotus. Erectus. The inbred sons, dude.
So I feel like, you know, if you're watching this movie and you think to yourself, like, how did Furiosa get out of, you know, the den where they keep the, mm-hmm. the people... the women that they're gonna breed, you know? Yeah. And it's like, well, she's the only one out of this group who has thinking ever for experienced herself. Life outside of this.
Uh-huh.
And so it really, even though Anya Taylor-Joy doesn't have like that much to say in this movie,
sure,
her character was really just like appointed for me, just this like symbol of like what it means to be educated and yeah. like to have
and like it be experience culture and yes all of that yeah
to, and for her to bounce around from place to place and get this like broad understanding of how everything works.
Mm-hmm.
She was just like basically building this like tally of information that she yeah. could use to get her revenge.
Yeah, she's like, all right, clocked all y'all bitches. Yeah. yeah. See you later.
Yeah,
when I'm Charlize Theron.
Also, can we just straight up say the casting of the little girl,
dude.
The little Furiosa, she looked exactly like Anya Taylor-Joy and was also a very good actress.
Really good actress. Yeah. And she was not in it, you know, for like a super long time, but a decent amount, like but longer long than enough. I was expecting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was A, definitely blown away by her performance, and B, blown away at the fucking casting.
The casting. So
that
good.
Was really well done.
Anya Taylor-Joy is she's like an ethereal being. Like,
yeah.
She doesn't look real.
Sure.
And Charlize Theron and her, they have similar complexions, but they don't look alike.
Mm-mm.
At all.
No.
But honestly, once she put the black paint on her head, mm-hmm. and like her head is shaved and you know, her arm was gone.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, yeah, that's Furiosa. Like, yeah. They don't have to look exactly alike. Like she,
they also
she
have
captured
energies, yeah. you know, and I feel like they both can very well play a woman in charge, a
yeah.
woman on top, like pushing gender boundaries a little mm-hmm. bit. Like, I think they both do a really good job of that. And I think it was like you said, it could be easily overlooked that they're not yeah. the same person.
Yeah, I don't know. I think like in general, this movie was, you know, something that I very much enjoyed. And I loved the experience. I love the world. I love the layers.
Mm.
I just really wish that they had been able to pull it together more concisely. You can just give us context clues.
Does it have
clues.
To literally be chapters 1 through 5?
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, if you wanted to show that she was stuck in a Morton Joe's citadel for a while, mm-hmm. you know, she could have interacted with a pregnant girl.
Yeah.
And then, like, they
then
could
there's
have.
Like a little kid.
Then there's a little yeah. kid. Right. It's as easy as that. Mm-hmm. And audiences aren't stupid.
Right.
And so I think that whole, like.
I just thought of, like, in imagining, because, like, some people in the audience are stupid.
That's though. True.
Like, audiences
yeah.
as a whole. But, like, in every movie theater, there's at least one stupid person who, when, if that happened like that, if it played out like there was a baby and then it was a kid, the guy would be like, that's a baby.
Yeah.
Like, the bimber,
bro,
it was
bro,
a baby.
Remember?
It was a baby and now it's like, time pass. Like, you know there's a chooch in every movie
yeah.
theater who would have been like, that's what happened.
That's yep. Man, it was just really crazy how they showed the passage of time. And meanwhile, we're just like, it's so simple.
You're like, you could have done it better every time.
Because, you know, I'm a successful director that has made millions of dollars.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Just like, you have like 4 Emmys. So like, he could learn a thing or two from you.
I hope everyone knows we're being very,
all of this
very
is sarcasm.
Sarcastic. Yeah. Please.
Everything I usually say is actually sarcasm. So if you are ever wondering if I'm being serious,
assume that she's
mostly
not.
Mostly not.
Yeah. So I think for me, I'm just going to jump into my popcorn rating.
Okay. I'm curious.
I
okay.
really.
I'm curiosa.
I'm curious. That's the funniest thing you've ever said. So anyways, I am going to give it the most full as possible medium.
Okay.
I cannot give it a large. I'm so sorry. Okay. Like, I know everybody is, but if I'm like giving the first one a large, this is a medium. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's fair.
But I still do not want to discredit that I thought it was a, you know, very enjoyable experience. Mm-hmm. And I am not saying this is a bad movie. I'm just saying, like, it just wasn't a fully complete A+, 100%. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. Well, what I can do is give this a large popcorn. So that's what I will be doing. I really would like to do a Mad Max Fury Road rewatch.
Absolutely.
Just to kind of put it all into perspective, I think it would be cool also to watch it after the prequel. Because now we have a lot of context.
Way more context.
Way more context. So I think it would be really cool. And who knows, like, maybe I'll like this one more.
Yeah.
You know, I really have no memory of it at all.
All right.
Besides, like, I liked it, but like, I can't remember
anything
specific.
You want to check it out.
Yeah, I want to see it again.
You're curious.
I'm very curiosa, muy curiosa.
Well, that does it for us. Yes. We're going to hop off and maybe watch Mad Max. Who knows?
You never know where the night might take you.
But we are very much looking forward to the next episode because one of Caitlin's favorite Pixar movies is going to have a sequel. Very psychology, very school counselor.
Very school counselor of me.
Very school counselor of you. But it'll be interesting to hear your thoughts on it as a school counselor because when the first one came out, I believe you were like fresh into your career or maybe even still in grad school.
Yeah, I don't think I had even started and become a school counselor yet.
So I'm very interested to hear your opinions on Inside Out 2.
Yeah.
So we will post on Instagram when that will be coming out, probably the Tuesday after it airs. But until then, we hope you guys have a great rest of your week and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us on the ride home.